Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to All the Smoke. First in-person interview of 2022.
Jack, 2022, what's up? My brother. How are you?
You looking real rich today.
Man, hey, you got me rich, so it's your fault.
That boy right there. Man, we got one of the best young talents in the league. Unfortunately, been sidelined for a little bit, but man, hopefully he's back soon, man. Welcome to the show, Jamal Murray.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for
having me. Appreciate you, bro. Thank you for coming through.
Appreciate you being here.
He was whooping Jack's ass earlier in Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm still putting bandages on right now for all the knives he threw at my face.
This motherfucker was beating Jack in a gun game with a knife.
Throwing a knife to a gunfight. Still one.
Anyway, man, happy new year. Man, let's get right to it. ACL injury. How's life been? Kind of basketball for the first time for an extended amount of time has been taken away from you. How has your world been since?
It's been different. Definitely a change. So many different emotions. So many things. It's my first major injury that's kept me sidelined like this. Seeing your team out there, not being that competitive spirit, never having, you go to the gym, locking in, you have a routine. I can kind of step away from my routine right now and not do whatever, but I ain't got to have the mental capacity to be in a competitive mode. So I've just been chilling, working my ass off. Every morning, go to rehab, take care of myself, try to find a new routine, try to come back with a new spirit for when the time comes.
What have you learned about yourself in this process? Again, first time kind of being away from basketball due to a major injury. What have you learned about yourself?
Nothing in specific. A lot of things. When you take a step back, you see things from a different perspective. When you're in the game, when you're in a play, I always compare things to basketball. When you're in a play, you might not see the help. You might not see what was actually going on. But when you step back and look at film, it's like, okay, this is how it's going. So I kind of have like a bigger picture of everything, of how I want to come back, of how our team is built, of how the league is, how the league is changing. And I'm just taking all those things into consideration for when I come back, and just like I said, come back with a new life and a new spirit.
Speaking of coming back, everyone who's going to watch this shit wants to know, when is that going to happen?
I'm too far to tell, honestly. I was supposed to start doing contact around this time, coming up soon, so that'll be exciting, but too far to tell. I haven't started playing one-on-one yet, so.
Process, man.
Yeah, I know. Slow.
Kill yourself.
Slow.
You feel like you're ready for contact?
I mean, yeah, for sure, but if I do something, I'm sore for the next 3 days. So it's hard to gauge, right, what's coming up. Yeah.
Well, I think what's beautiful is obviously we've come so far in medicine, and ACL used to be a major injury. It's not a major injury anymore per se because the success rate after it is. But, we just got a chance to see Clay come back, off an ACL and Achilles. We saw KD come back and lead the league in scoring off an Achilles, So I'm excited, especially too, because you're younger than both those guys, you know what I mean? So as long as you stick with the process, man, and make sure you're fully healthy before you come back, man, we're definitely excited to, as fans, man, see you out there rocking, man, because you really, I feel like in the last two and a half years, like really put yourself on the map, man, and kind of be taken down in the midst of that. I know that's got to be hard, but it's also making you hungry.
Mm-hmm.
How hard has it been to see, like I said, the game is so mental. How hard has it been just kind of having to be around it and watch it and, know that, you guys lose some close games where you would have been there and it would have been a whole nother story?
Phew. Oh, man. Plenty. it's stressful at times. I actually went to Canada for the holidays for 5-6 days just to get away from it, just because it's different when you're, like I said, in Denver all the time and watching the routine and the grind of the season. But when you're not playing, it's a totally different story. And it sucks to watch that every day and go to practice and have to be in that environment all the time. So it was good for me to go home and take a break. And looking forward to All-Star break. I get to go home again, see my fam.
Clear your mind. Yes, sir.
What has your rehabbing process look like?
6 days a week, 7 days, 7 out of 8 days. Going in the morning, a lot of lifting, a lot of quad work, just trying to gauge my pain with how much I can do. Obviously not rushing nothing, but I'm just trying to get a feel for my body, feel for it again and make sure it's comfortable doing stuff that it used to do.
You were just in the gym doing a windmill dunk.
Okay.
See me out here? I was sore for like 72 hours after that. But.
So you're getting little spurts where you feel like your old self.
Yeah, so like I'll have like 4 good days of good lifting, good, you know, good tendon, what's it called? Tendon routine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those next few days, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like I can basically play. And I'll go do a dunk or two and then I'm laid up playing COD with my leg up with some ice, you know?
Is it your knee or everything around it or?
It's simple stuff is difficult. Like, okay. You know, going up the stairs, I got to be conscious about going down the stairs. I'm conscious about it because I've been so conscious about it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just those little things, those little reminders that always keep me off balance because some days I'm like, yo, I can't run up the stairs. Really? Just trying to take the trash out, man. So I'm trying to just trying to get up there.
I like to give our fans kind of that, you know, that look inside of, like you said, things you take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, coming back off of it, right?
The easy stuff.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the current team and Coach Malone? How you feel about y'all team this year?
I think we've done really well, all things considered. We have so many guys out. Injuries, COVID, I'm out. It's just been tough. It's been a tough year.
That's a big chunk right there.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm out. Yeah.
It's different. Sometimes when me and Yoke out there, I feel like we have a chance to win
every
against
game.
Anybody.
Yeah. Y'all proved it.
Explain the difference between him when you met him to now.
The same guy.
Same guy?
Same guy. Goofy, funny. He's just gotten so much more comfortable playing at the pace that he wants to. And he's shown that year after year. And I still think his best is yet to come. He just sees the game at a different level than everybody.
Yeah, I can tell he liked to live life. I seen a video of him twerking.
Man,
got
I don't
any
know.
Funny stories?
You gotta ask him about that one. I don't know. I saw that too. I was like, what?
Unbelievable. But he's one of those unique talents. You know, you would look at him and think, okay.
Yeah.
But then when he gets out there and plays, I mean, there's no holes in his game.
When you guard him, you don't know what you're going to get either.
Right.
You know, if he's going to post up, spin, pass, look you off.
At his own pace, though. He always at his own pace.
Yeah, always.
Sick, yeah. And he got two brothers that are with the shit, too.
Yeah, they're with the shit.
Two brothers is with the shit.
But, hey, everybody with the shit, though.
Till the shit come.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Hey.
Everybody with the shit until shit come.
Talk about your upbringing in Ontario. Your dad was an athlete. Where did you develop your love for sports, in particular basketball?
I was always very competitive. I think that's where it starts. With basketball, with track, my two main sports. Love basketball from a youngin. I was playing since before I could walk. And I just carried that with me. I would go and go across the street after I'd done my schoolwork and just play for like 6 hours, 7 hours on the concrete court on double rims.
Mm.
And that was just like my home to me. That was like my hobby. It was my only hobby. And I just took that and run with it.
If you could switch on a double rim, you got a Jimmy.
Man. Man. In the winter, too, I'd be in the snow as well.
No. I hate the cold, man. So fuck that.
I don't like the cold. I'm just used to it.
Yeah, I feel you. Talk to us about when mental kung fu means to your father instilled that to you. Can you speak? Because obviously so much of this game is mental. Mm-hmm. Obviously you're going through a physical injury, but it wears on you mental. What is mental kung fu?
Just durability mentally to be able to go through whatever you're going through. Not to rely on others. Know how to rely on yourself. I do a lot of meditation before games and when I wake up in the morning or when I'm going through something, I just like to take time to myself and be able to be honest with myself. I take that as a time to look in the mirror and be like honest with myself, stuff I want to accomplish, how well I've done, how bad I've done, and just move forward from that moment.
I like that.
Mental kung fu. I didn't put some mental kung fu on some motherfuckers before in my life.
Male or female?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I done finessed a couple niggas out some bags.
And some women out there on that
money. Yeah, we want nothing. That's another story. Yeah.
You're right. My bad. Who are some of the people you idolized growing up and some of the people you may have modeled your game after?
I've always tried to create my own name, especially coming from Canada. You got all these guys with the YouTube mixes and the highlight tapes. I always wanted to create one for myself. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why I picked number 27, because nobody has 27.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I see little kids and stuff with the number, it brings me back. But I used to watch a lot of Jordan, obviously. Vince was my favorite player growing up, and I'll always love D-Rose from afar. Mm. His game, the way he gets to the rim, his explosiveness,
a lot
his
of
pace.
Similarities in your game.
Yeah.
June 24th, 2015, you committed to Kentucky to go play for John Calipari. What was that recruiting process like?
It was cool. I was getting a lot of schools, but my dad said we're still one or two schools that I hadn't got yet, and Kentucky was one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's how I knew that I was on a scale that I needed to be at. The other school I was going to go to was Oregon. I was actually leaning towards Oregon, but it was just too far. And for coming from Canada, I didn't want to be away from my fam for the first year. So mm-hmm. Kentucky was the easiest choice.
What other schools that recruiting you besides Oregon and Kentucky?
Missouri, I mean Syracuse, Michigan, all the mains.
All the top schools. Yeah. Were you surprised at all how easy the college level game was and it came to you?
That was my first time playing the two. So I was playing the one all the way up until college, and then we had Tyler Ulis, Zay Briscoe, and so I was only shooter out of them. I said the two. I didn't really handle the ball like that, but I wasn't surprised at all. I was just going strictly off jump shooting for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
seventh overall pick to Denver. What was your first thought going there?
No, I didn't know nothing about Denver. I know nothing about Denver. I didn't do no interview for them. I didn't work out for them. I worked out for four teams. And once I went past those four teams on draft night, I was like, oh, man, I don't know where. I don't know who I'm going with. I don't know where I'm going.
Who did you work out for?
I worked out for Boston, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I went Ingram. It went Simmons. It went Ingram, Jalen Brown, Dragon Bender, Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, and then me. What'd you think?
Damn, I feel sorry. Whoever was the general manager back then, man? I know y'all slapping this.
They're probably not the same.
Yeah, he probably at home. Yeah, for a job.
The general manager's probably not the same.
Facts.
Yes.
Yeah. That
any funny stories about draft night?
Funny stories? Nah. I don't think
nothing crazy happened.
Nothing
nice,
crazy,
cool, yeah. Calm night.
I'm a fan with me. It was pretty chill. So.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of your family, how proud of you was your family, and particularly your father that night?
They was proud, but we knew that it was just the first step in what I wanted to do and accomplish. So it wasn't like the end goal. I made a moment for me. You know, I still have more to do before I get there. Yeah.
Your daddy didn't hit you with that. I told you, boy. Built a kung fu. I told you. That's all you need to have.
Some of that for sure. Yeah. Like, it was lying. Definitely a big factor.
Two-part question. Welcome to the NBA moment, and then toughest opponent to date.
Welcome to the NBA moment. I got a few, man.
Talk to us about them.
Well, I missed my first 17 shots, which is almost a record coming into the league. So 5 games later, I made a shot. Mm. That was kind of a welcome to the NBA because I was like my first real doubt where I was like, damn, like nothing is going away. Not just one or two games, but like nothing is going down for me. Another time was when Mike Conley whooped me. He had like 25 and 15 on splitting pick and rolls and finishing floaters. It was like, I'm like, yeah, I can't hang with this guy. Drew Holiday picking my pocket 7 times in 1 game.
Oof.
A few of them.
That's a welcome.
But you got to get used to that pace, though.
Yeah, for sure.
In Tennessee, I didn't know what any of them wanted to do.
But you know, with all due respect to those players he mentioned, it's not the superstar. I mean, you know what the superstars do, but everybody could really, mm-hmm. you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people wouldn't think, like, Mike Conley was a killer. Drew Holiday is one of the best two-way, but it's, you know what I mean? It's just
a lot
like,
of people don't know about that.
You think of Steph and LeBron and KD, but like, everybody. Mm-hmm. You got to be ready for everybody.
Talking about how difficult and learning to pace your rookie year, what vest did you lean on?
Drew Arthur, Jameer Nelson. Those are my ill will.
Yeah, I played with Jameer in Orlando. Good little midget.
Yeah.
Will Chandler?
Yeah.
That's my guy. Shout out to Ill Will. Yeah.
We had a squad, though. My rookie year was me, Mike Miller, Jameer, D.A., Ill Will, Gallo, and somebody else I'm missing, Kenneth. So we had
How did he just fall off the face of the earth?
Well, I don't know. He's been working to get back in the league. That's my Muslim brother. I don't know.
He's a monster.
He can help some team with his athleticism and his energy. You know what I'm saying? He can help somebody.
Ugh. He knows, bro.
Yeah, man. That's real well. You got to the Rising Stars Challenge on All-Star Weekend and won MVP of that game. Do you feel like that was when you really started for everybody to realize you seriously and you here to stay?
I mean, I didn't take that
serious.
I'd always took those games serious, but it wasn't a surprise to me because when I went to Jordan Brand, I won MVP. Went to Hoop Summit, I won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to any BioSteel in Canada, I won MVP. So, like, I was always I've always showed up for those events. Right. So it was just cool to put that on the biggest stage I've been in.
So you come to play in those type of games?
Yeah. I'm known for the bright lights, playing the bright lights.
Me too. Any other memorable moments from All-Star?
Just that game. I think after that game, I was out. I've always wanted to be in the three-point contest, though.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to do that.
So that's coming.
That's coming for sure.
So after not making the playoffs, 18-19, you guys finally make the playoffs. What's that feeling like personally, and what was the vibe like with that team?
It was fun. We didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, and we never heard the crowd get like that.
Right.
So I remember played the Spurs game one, and we're at home. they win the tip. Crowd is loud, it's crazy. They try to throw the ball in the post, I think to Aldridge, and I steal it off the ball. My man threw the ball, and I tried to steal it. As soon as I steal it, I ran up the court from like the logo and just pulled straight backboard. I was like, we were just all excited just to be there.
Yeah,
you know?
Adrenaline kicked in,
yeah.
that shit right off the backboard.
From the logo, too.
Yeah, this shit was from deep. Try to start this shit off with a bang. But just good to be there, though.
Yeah, it was just fun to be there.
The second round, you guys had a historic game with the Trailblazers, quadruple overtime. Talk about that battle.
That was fun. That was fun going toe-to-toe with Dame and CJ. That was like our first real test. San Antonio was a test, but we felt like we were battling them. Portland, they had a little more experience, and they had some killers on the team. The triple overtime game was crazy. You guys watched that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yes.
It was up and down the whole series, but you know, if we get them now, we know what to do. We know what to do with them. Yeah. It was just
your healthy is going down.
Yeah. We was just young. That's all it was.
Yeah. After game six, you spoke up and got emotional in the post-game interview where you addressed racial injustice as well as honoring George Floyd, which I appreciate my brother.
Yes, sir.
And Breonna Taylor. As each of their pictures were on your shoes, I think I texted you or DM'd you and told you I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your thought process when all that was going on and to put that on your shoes?
I had those shoes for a while, actually, or I planned on getting them done a while ago before that game. And I only wanted to bring them out when I needed them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just, you know, wear them whenever. And that was always on my mind because it was universal. It's a very common thing, racism. And we were in there for a reason,
mm-hmm.
not just because of COVID, but they wanted to use basketball as a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And those shoes were a way of me keeping myself locked in. And I just used that. I just went off that. I said,
you had 50 ball in those.
Oh, yeah. I had 42 in them the game before.
Game four.
I just saw, like, once I had that good game, it was like, okay, these mean something mm-hmm. where they take something out of me to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just went with that. And after the game, you know, we won the game, and there's so many different emotions because you're winning, you need to think about the next one, but
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get past that. I couldn't get past the why I was there, you know? So that really resonated with me, and everything after that was just pure.
It was dope.
It's some family members from George Floyd and Breonna Taylor that probably never see you, mm-hmm. but I guarantee you they wish they could tell you and hug you and tell you you appreciate that, bro.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of people see what's going on, but those people are really dealing with pain. That's real tears, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To see somebody on the level you at, mm-hmm. to, you know what I'm saying, to stand up for their children, that mean a lot, bro. A lot of people don't understand how big that was.
Yeah. How are you doing from...
I'm good, man. You know, I'm doing what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And take care of his daughter and her mom. And their lives have changed. And at the end of the day, bro, I didn't know what I was doing the whole time. We talk mm-hmm. about it all the time. But when it's your real pain, you just lead with your heart.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep.
Let things fall where they may. After the powerful moment, you go on to play the Clippers where you fall from a 3-1 death to a 3-1 deficit. Then did you think I was going to be able to come back from that?
Absolutely. From the moment we went down 3-0, we was kind of like joking about it, like, let's do it again. But, like, we really had to do it. And
just doing it would definitely give you the confidence that we can do it again.
Oh, yeah. Because no one expected the first one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the second one was like, okay, you can't count these guys out anymore.
But then another side, they ain't coming back with 3-1 again.
Yeah. Obviously, because it's never been done.
Right.
But, you know, when you're watching in the regular season and you used to watch guys like Jordan, one thing my dad said about Jordan was, like, even if they're down in the game, you still watch the whole game because there's always a chance that Mike is going to bring it back or the Bulls mm-hmm. can come back from a game.
Same with Kobe.
Yeah. And so that stuck with me when my dad said that. And I always wanted to carry that when I'm in the game. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm known for having those bursts of 15, 20 points just because I believe in what we can do. So that really resonated with me. And I just wanted to keep that going. And that empowered me to take 3-1.
Your first Western Conference Finals ever in the bubble. How was that?
It was cool. We lost, so it wasn't... I don't really like to speak on it because we lost.
I'm telling you what you did miss, and we know. The home and away crowds, being in another arena.
Yeah,
I missed
that.
That's a different feeling,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah. It was in the bubble. It was just kind of like pick up from at best out of 7.
Hey, you.
Yeah. My hamstring tightened up in the game before, game five. That day it was just wear and tear, tired, body was exhausted. There was a stat. I was taking up for 4 minutes of that game, and we were minus 18 in my 4 minutes that I was on the bench.
Damn.
So it was just like those things were like it was real. Like,
yeah, you had to be out there.
Had to be out there. guys were locked in on the other side.
But I mean, that's mentally draining too, to come back from one down. Like, you know what I mean? You're back against the wall every single game. That's mentally and physically exhausting.
In the bubble.
So yeah, right. And then so you get into the Western Finals versus the Lakers, and you guys feel like you guys just kind of ran out of gas.
Yeah, we just got exhausted. Just got tired. But it was cool. It was still cool to be there. Something that the team and organization hadn't done in a while, but we just didn't have enough gas in the tank.
Yeah. You dropped 50 in the 2021 season,
attempting
36.
50 is
42,
43.
Huh?
43. A couple times, though.
Okay.
50, though?
50 balls without attempting a free throw. Only player in NBA history to achieve that.
Boy, I still go to the line?
No, I need to. Once I get here, I'm cool.
I don't need to.
Once I get here, I'm
once
cool.
It's locked in, it's
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
What was it like that game? Because I mean, you had, you know, obviously historic back and forth with Donovan Mitchell. You guys dropped 50 in the same game. But what's it like being in that kind of zone?
It's a feeling like no other. That was the first time we had fans in the arena from COVID, and it's just that energy just got to me. I had the other fans cheering for us in Cleveland, which was cool. But I mean, it's different. I think I was 21 for 25, so I missed 4 shots the entire game with no free throws. Like, it was just, I'm just hitting everything. It was a lot of fun.
That's the zone.
Once it gets here.
Once I get here, I'm straight. It doesn't matter where I am.
In April, unfortunately, you go down with an ACL versus the Warriors. Was it something immediate? You spoke a little bit. You said off before, you said you had a hernia.
Yeah, bilateral hernia.
Was a monster.
It wasn't long. It was just hurt a lot.
So when you made the move, did you know it was something bad?
For the most part, yeah. Because when I went down, there's nothing I could think of but else. Like, I just let go of the ball and I just dropped and held my leg. And I was in pain. It was in a lot of pain. It was really hot. My leg was on fire. Coach comes over. And it's like eerie silent in the gym. There's no fans, right? So it was like eerie silent. You heard the ref call for a medic. Like, it was just not a good spot to be in. And then as soon as I sat up, I'm like, let me see if I can stand up and finish the game. Mm-hmm. I was like, we down 7. I'm thinking about winning the game with a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. But
as soon as you put weight on, it was like, no, sir.
No, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't put no weight on it. It was on fire. When I say like a barbecue, like on top of your leg. Like, it was. And then they told me the news. Says probably gonna be ACL. Then I got the MRI right after that. I started my journey back, man. I look back, I still watch it now, and I'm like, okay, I know where I want to be. I know where I'm going. I know the work that's taken to get me to this point now. I'm just looking forward to coming back and come back with a different life. I'm
gonna take a step back for a second. First day of free agency, you receive a max deal, 5 years, 170. What did that mean to you and all the hard work you've put in to be given a max contract?
I just live
by
my family.
I mean, besides being rich as fuck now.
I know.
Oh,
I just, like I said,
thousands of dollars and a banana cognac, bitch.
Oh, man. That just solidified, like, my family. I don't really look at money like that already. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty humble guy. When I go when I go home, I actually sleep on an air mattress to keep my mental to know where I'm coming from. I got a little brother that's watching me as well. And I don't want to see that, you know, we can
keep
get
him hungry.
You can get whatever you want, but you don't take it because of why. And that's like, because there's certain things you have to learn and go through. And I'm trying to teach him and at the same time teach myself that money isn't everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I didn't have any of it, I'd still be the same person I am today. Right. So that's why I look at it honestly from the heart. But obviously, I'm straight. I can do what I want. I'm solidified as one of the best scorers in the game. And it's only going up for me from there. I just, when I see those names like Katie and Steph, I want to put my name next to them as well.
Talk to them. So. Other than your team, do you follow teams, players?
Certain players, yeah.
Because you active on Twitter when doing games and after games, you active
that.
On Twitter.
I forgot about that. I'm allowed to do that? Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
I said that this year, the one game I'm not going to miss is Clay's game. And I went back at halftime and just watched Clay's like first 5 minutes, his first. And
everybody was rooting for him.
Yeah, it's just goosebumps watching that because, you know he's been out for
two and a half years.
Right. Two of them.
Yeah.
Without getting to play, like you don't have that. You forget what it's like to be in that competitive mode. Like you really miss that. So I just fell for him, and it was really nice to watch him play again.
You have to have the game taken from you. Well, first you have to understand and love the game like we love it. But to have it taken from you is a different thing. Yeah. I didn't have it taken from me because of no injury on some dumb shit. But just to not be able to do what you love, people don't understand how hard that is, man. Mm-hmm.
If like I don't know what else to do. Like that season is the whole season, 8 months, 9 months is all about basketball and routine and taking care of your body and hooping and being locked in. Like now it's like, man, I can eat a chicken burger and I ain't gotta worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I'm just joking. But like, it really gets like that. We don't have to lock in. I don't have to go to the gym with a focused mentality. I just there busting jokes and stuff, and I miss being in that mood where I'm a different person, where I'm locked in. You know.
Mm-hmm. Talk about these players, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry.
I've always had Steph as a target, as a goal.
Good one.
In college, I think I was 2 threes away from tying his freshman record, and now I'm how many threes away from it?
A little distance between right? You got some time.
But like he's still, that's the target.
That's
you know,
the measuring
I've,
point,
I've,
yeah.
I've shown that I can keep up in a way. Mm-hmm. Now it's just for me to, now it's on me to see how much I love the game and take it to that level. Mm-hmm. You know, I just put it on me. But KD, I've been watching a lot of KD, just like we're talking about his pace. Now he can just catch the ball on the elbow and he ain't got a dribble. He can get a shot whenever and get to a spot. That was like the tips I'm trying to take back when I come back is, you know, get the ball in the post and like Jokic not have to move and just see the game at a different level. That's where I'm trying to get to and striving for. So those kind of things I pick away from those guys.
Mm-hmm. You going to start posting up more?
Oh, yeah. Got to. Trying to move my own pace when I come back for sure.
Yeah. I think Steve Smith told me your game had changed when you start posting up because I was a big guard at the two spot and it definitely changed. It opened up a lot for me, but I could see you really taking advantage of a lot of guards, especially in the West on that block for sure.
Mm-hmm. Even guys like, that's why I said like watching Brandon Roy because he was just bigger. You take guys in the post and shoot that mid-range, Gilbert Arenas, and at the same time be able to play like Derrick Rose, get into the rim and be acrobatic.
Normally you don't get to reflect on, you know, what you've accomplished or been in when you're playing. You kind of got to step away from the game, unfortunately, because of an injury. But what have you, you know, looking back on this journey, what has it been like so far?
Learning experience. Everything happens for a reason. Obviously, would I like to be playing? Yeah. Mm. But I wouldn't have learned the stuff I've learned if I wasn't out. Mm. Just by myself. Been going to church more. That's a personal one. Looking things in a different light, meditating more. Talking to my brother more, just things I didn't get to do while I was playing or didn't focus on, I'm focusing on now. So just kind of looking at me, myself, and I off the court more.
I feel it. What do you want your fans to know when you're back, who you're going to be?
Because
like you said, obviously this took you through a growing experience mentally and physically, but type of player you feel like you're going to be when you come back?
Rejuvenated, I think is the word for it. skill's gonna be there, shooting touch is gonna be there.
The kid in the canvas, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like a rookie out there. I'm gonna be. The game's moving fast. I'm probably gonna shoot a half court shot and just hit the straight backboard just because I can. You know, it's like
just because I can.
Yeah, just because I can.
So I heard you're a gamer. What kind of games you grew up?
Man, we don't have to talk about this. We can skip this segment.
What kind of games you grew up playing?
Shit, we just said he summoned me to the Lord 10 times.
What you doing, throwing knives?
I had one game where I believe he killed him 4 times. Shit.
That's because I was playing around, bro.
Yeah, you was using knives at a gunfight.
We sell you bottle caps, that was for you.
Yeah, what the fuck that shit was?
I play a lot of 2K.
You use yourself or other players?
Myself every time.
Okay.
Every time. Just me. ISO.
That's it.
ISO every play.
ISO. Bar me and Yoke. That's it. Yeah. I play Fortnite because I got a little brother. So okay. I got to stay sharp sometimes for him because he likes to talk too.
Yeah,
just like me.
Talk his little shit.
That ain't nothing but kitty Call of Duty. That's all it is.
Nah.
This kitty Call of Duty.
I know, but it's... If you play it and you see like the building and stuff, like them guys take it real serious.
Oh, it's crazy.
Especially as a kid, you know, your brain working different. Fortnite, COD, 2K, Super Smash Bros. Just download Mortal Kombat. I play everything, man. I just like gaming.
Super Smash Bros.
You know what Super Smash Bros. Is?
No.
Like Link and Zelda and Bowser.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Pikachu.
Yeah, I know Zelda is. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. You turn me
Kirby,
on
now. You know?
Okay.
It's a throwback naming all those characters.
Yeah, I remember Zelda.
That's a wrap. Jamal Murray, All the Smoke. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects.
This is All the Smoke, a production of the Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.